Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Taking Charge of Your Fertility by Toni Weschler is a practical nonfiction guide to female reproductive health centered on the fertility awareness method. First published in the 1990s and later expanded in anniversary editions, the book explains how women can observe and chart daily fertility signs such as cervical fluid, basal body temperature, and cervical position to better understand their cycles. Its purpose is not limited to contraception. It also addresses pregnancy achievement, breastfeeding-related fertility changes, menstrual cycle education, and broader gynecological self-knowledge. The book is structured as an instructional manual rather than a theoretical work, and it aims to replace confusion with body literacy and cycle awareness. Weschler's approach is notable for presenting fertility as something that can be read and interpreted rather than guessed at through calendar assumptions or hormonal prediction alone. As a result, the book has become a long-standing reference for readers seeking a natural, non-invasive, and information-driven approach to reproductive health. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how the fertility awareness method uses daily bodily signs instead of calendar guesswork. The core of the book is its explanation of the fertility awareness method, a system for identifying fertile and infertile days by tracking observable biological signs. Weschler emphasizes three main indicators: cervical fluid, basal body temperature, and cervical position. This matters because fertility is not treated as a fixed monthly assumption, but as a dynamic process that can be read from the body itself. By teaching readers how these signs shift across the menstrual cycle, the book gives them a method for timing intercourse with much greater precision than rhythm-based methods. The practical value is twofold. For those avoiding pregnancy, it provides a non-hormonal way to reduce risk through informed abstinence or alternative protection during fertile windows. For those trying to conceive, it helps identify the most fertile days more accurately. The method requires discipline and daily observation, but the book presents that effort as the basis of its effectiveness rather than as a burden. In that sense, the book reframes fertility knowledge as a skill that can be learned and applied consistently. Secondly, correcting menstrual cycle myths and replacing them with cycle literacy. A major contribution of the book is its challenge to common misconceptions about menstruation and fertility. One of its recurring messages is that many women have been taught an oversimplified view of the cycle, including the false idea that every cycle follows the same length, or that ovulation can be predicted reliably by count alone. Weschler instead presents the menstrual cycle as variable, evidence-based, and readable through signs rather than assumptions. This corrective approach is important because misunderstanding the cycle can lead to both unintended pregnancy and missed clues about reproductive health. The book also gives proper value to cervical mucus, which is often treated with embarrassment or ignorance in everyday culture. By explaining cervical fluid as a useful health indicator, it changes the reader's relationship to a bodily function that is usually dismissed. That shift is not just educational, it is diagnostic. A reader who can interpret cycle patterns is better positioned to notice irregularities, ask better questions, and recognize when a pattern may suggest a health concern. The book, therefore, uses cycle education as a foundation for broader body awareness. Thirdly, a non-hormonal birth control option built around observation and responsibility. The book is often read as a natural contraception manual, and that aspect is one of its most distinctive strengths. Unlike hormonal birth control, IUDs, or barrier methods, the fertility awareness method does not alter the body or rely on devices inserted into it. Instead, it asks the user to understand where they are in the cycle and make decisions based on that knowledge. This makes the method especially relevant for readers who want to avoid synthetic hormones, who have medical reasons to avoid them, or who prefer a fertility-based approach for personal or religious reasons. At the same time, the book does not present the method as effortless or universally suitable. It makes clear that consistent charting, accuracy, and self-discipline are essential. That realism is part of its value. The method works best when both partners understand the logic of fertile and infertile days, because responsibility is shared rather than placed entirely on one person. Weschler's framing is therefore practical rather than ideological. She is not only offering an alternative to conventional contraception, but also explaining the level of commitment required for it to function as a dependable system. Fourthly, using fertility charting to support conception, infertility awareness, and breastfeeding transitions. Although the book is well known for birth control, it is equally focused on conception and reproductive troubleshooting. Readers trying to become pregnant are shown how charting can reveal the timing of ovulation and help concentrate intercourse during the most fertile window. That makes the book useful, not only for prevention, but also for optimization. It is especially valuable for couples who want to understand fertility before moving to more invasive or expensive interventions. The method can also help identify signs that something about the cycle is not functioning as expected, which may encourage earlier medical evaluation. Another important application is breastfeeding. Fertility often returns unpredictably after childbirth, and the book explains that this variability can be better understood by watching how breastfeeding affects ovulatory hormones and cycle patterns. This is an important practical area because many new mothers assume fertility is absent when it may actually be returning. By covering conception, infertility awareness, and postpartum fertility shifts in one framework, the book shows that the same charting system can serve different life stages. That flexibility is one reason it remains relevant across varied reproductive goals. Lastly, why the book became a long-standing reference for women's health education. The book stands out because it is both instructional and cultural. On the instructional side, it gives detailed guidance, charts, and troubleshooting support that make the fertility awareness method usable in daily life. On the cultural side, it pushes back against the medical and social tendency to treat women's reproductive knowledge as secondary or obscure. That broader significance helps explain its longevity. The book is not a narrowly focused fertility manual that only addresses conception or only addresses contraception. Instead, it links reproductive function to health literacy, self-advocacy, and informed decision-making. This makes it useful to a wider audience, including teens, breastfeeding mothers, couples, and people who want a deeper understanding of gynecological health. Its endurance also reflects a gap. It fills many comparable books, discuss reproduction in abstract or highly clinical terms. While this one combines accessible explanation with a concrete everyday method, the result is a guide that functions as both a reference and a framework for interpreting one's own body. That combination is what has kept it influential across multiple editions and decades. In conclusion, Taking Charge of Your Fertility is best suited to readers who want a serious, practical understanding of the menstrual cycle rather than a simplified fertility handbook. It will be especially valuable to people seeking non-hormonal birth control, couples trying to conceive, breastfeeding mothers navigating return of fertility, and anyone who wants to become more literate in reproductive health. The book's main benefit is not just information, but interpretation. It teaches readers how to read patterns in their own bodies and use that knowledge in daily decisions. That makes it both educational and immediately applicable. What distinguishes it from many books in the same category is its combination of detail, neutrality, and range. It does not treat fertility awareness as a niche lifestyle preference. It presents it as a coherent system for contraception, conception, and health monitoring. It also avoids reducing women's reproductive function to either a medical problem or a calendar prediction. Instead, it offers a grounded, method-based approach that has remained relevant because it addresses real biological variation. For readers who want a deeper, more autonomous relationship with their reproductive health, this book remains one of the most established guides available. If you would like to support Tony Weschler, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.